Time to play the new Price is Right.
I know. Number three, Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I actually have two questions. The first one is I attended a public forum that Lance conducted in Lockwood last Wednesday, very well attended by our Lockwood residents. And one of the things that you said, Lance, was that the pipeline bond didn't pass muster, didn't make it as written or presented. And I don't recall exactly the reasons why it didn't, but I'd like to know more about why it didn't pass, because the presentation that we got at the time was very confident and very, you know, here's how it would be structured, et cetera. And so if that bond in its structure doesn't pass muster, what's going to replace that? So what's that status, Pat?
Mr. Goodman, Commissioner Goodman, please, with your permission. Great question, super question. And we have to go back to the board for pretty much the reasons that Lance has mentioned, or the overall issue that Lance has mentioned. And I'm going to tell you what I've heard. And my source is very reliable. It happens not so much to be our counsel, but with our counsel present, it comes from Robert Sater, who's Tri's counsel, and it's also coming from our own bond advisor, Marty Johnson, JNA Consulting. I would tell you that the last I heard, which was probably about 45 days ago, that the approach using a tax increment area is on life support. Those were words I wrote down at the time. The issue is the structure, the rush, if you will, to get the Faraday Futures bill through the special session of the legislature. The statutory creating process is difficult in the first place. You throw a law out there, and 2 years later, you come back and you look at it and say, where do we screw up? And you're constantly changing it, how we're doing it with our policies and our ordinances in many respects. So, you know, they only had however many days they had with Faraday, two or three, you know, and they created a lot of vagaries in that bill, including the nature of a tax increment area and the ways to fund particular parts of this project. In specific, the portion the county was willing to consider looking at in our request for an economic development financing proposal in the tune of about $35 million. So it hit a couple of big bombs, for lack of a better phrase, that will either totally derail it and cause them to seek another approach, which they are doing, or maybe a combination thereof. And it deals with, from an accounting perspective, something I totally appreciate and approve of. It deals with an ultra-conservative set of governing restrictions on bonding capacities and bonding debt service coverage. Going to be just looking to Hugh for a couple of nods because it's been a little bit rusty on this, but I believe we had to cover debt 3 or 4 times debt service coverage with enough revenue projected mm-hmm. off of there. Mm-hmm. So let's say 3. I can't recall if it was 3 or 4. And then on top of that, there's another governing restriction that I can't quite clearly state, and oddly enough, I think I got a call from the consultant that's putting this together and presented here, Jeremy Aguero, while we were in this meeting. But there's another governing restrictor, and when I say governing, I don't mean governance. I mean in the terms like a governor on a truck or an engine or something that just isn't going to let it go any more than this. And it's a 15% rule that says your increment area you better not rely on your increment area for any more than 15% of what's needed. And even as big as all of TRI is and all of the projected growth, it's not enough. It's not enough to cover debt service and meet that criteria. It may be enough to cover less. You could be looking at a tax increment area with debt obligation of the county on incremental growth revenues, you know, of 10 million, 12 million, something million. You know, it's being analyzed right now.
But you can't use more than 15% of that number to cover the bond.
Yes, or something very close to those words. You know, so now they're going back and looking. There are all other ways to skin the cat also. There are that either don't put the county as at as much risk, if you will, and there's risk in everything. There are ways to create the equivalent of what I call a redevelopment district, which is called a special assessment district, where you can tax that area. It's not just arbitrary. It's got to be done through a public process. So right now, the proponents and our legal counsel and our consultant, Marty Johnson, are going through this and saying, okay, we got to, you know, we got to back up.
Is the, in the second iteration of the bond structure, is the county still going to be in first position? Because it seems to me as that if the state were in first position, it takes the pressure off the county to have to meet these particular limitations.
I'll answer it to the best I can. I think you're saying, you know, to the extent that there are insufficient revenues, you know, that could be covered, that's in the legislation, that's in the special bill.
Well, no, have the state take the bond.
Right, because it's in the legislation. Those words are in there.
Right.
You know, it's definitely being highly debated right now what legislative intent was, what that really means. I mean, they're using a phrase that honestly no one else, including the Department of Taxation, even uses. So we're trying to find that out, and there are multiple schools of thought. So that question really isn't answered yet.
Okay.
But to change the role and say the state's responsible would require new legislation.
So that's not part of SB1?
No, SB1 specific. Well, let me refresh myself here.
Because it sounds
SB1
like SB1
specifically references
allows the state to do whatever it wants, essentially. Doesn't it? From an abatement standpoint?
I'm not a scholar on that, but I would tell you,
yeah.
SB1, I believe, specifically has a provision in there that if there are insufficient revenues to pay incremental growth, and again, whether this applies to the special assessment district or not, I can't tell you because I haven't seen.
Okay, I don't put you on the spot. I was just wanting to understand.
They're great questions. But in essence, to get the county out of first position, at least for the tax increment area, mm-hmm. would take new legislation because the legislation specifically spells out the uncommitted balances of the general fund or whatever it is.
Okay.
One other thing, if I may add, as I said in our meeting, it's premature to explore what vehicle they may use
mm-hmm.
because they're looking at a number of options. And so we all be patient. We'll hear what might work for us, but it's not on the table yet.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would presume, and I'm kind of looking at Lance and Chris who are active from that area, but I would presume expect like maybe a combination of solutions. You know, you may see a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I mean, the good news is I think this is going to probably make it potentially less burdensome on the county should the county choose to do it, keeping in mind we've never said we're going to do it. We're said we're going to apply. The bad news is all the projections were made at about a current market interest rate, you know, and every month that's delayed, you know, that is subject to volatility. So, you know, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, and it's still being worked on. I like the phrase that I heard from Mr. Sater, which is on life support. So, but it'll probably come out missing a few appendages. Mm-hmm.